VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, Election Day is over. However, the election is not. 270 electoral votes are needed to win the presidency. And as we begin the broadcast today, President Trump has 214. Joe Biden has 248 electoral votes. Just a short time ago, Fox News reported that the Trump campaign announced a lawsuit in Michigan to halt the vote counting there, claiming that the Trump campaign was not provided meaningful access to numerous counting locations to observe the opening of ballots, the counting process. Why were not they allowed in? The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, en route to Pennsylvania as President Trump is ahead in that state, 53.3% to 45.5%. However, they are claiming many more votes to be counted. Huge ballot dumps done in Wisconsin and Michigan. Just a short while ago, the AP declared Joe Biden the winner in Wisconsin. President Trump has said he will call for a recount here in the state. Well, here to discuss this and other related election news, we welcome constitutional attorney, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
We're going to hit a lot of issues today, from the presidency to the House and Senate makeup. We'll be discussing the Supreme Court, even some ballot initiatives. But, Matt, I'd like you to help us understand what we're seeing across this nation. Many were just appalled last night that all of a sudden Pennsylvania declared they were done counting for the night. And we're going to come back to that today. But some concerning aspects not only going on there, but other states as well. And I'd like to air just this brief clip from President Trump that he very early this morning, as he spoke, here's what he had to say.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
Matt, give us your response.
I think he's right. When have we ever seen that votes are just literally stopped in the middle of counting? When have we ever seen that at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, the day after the election, you find 100,000 or so ballots, and they all happen to have the same name on it, Joe Biden, long after the polls have closed? And when have you ever seen these decisions to extend voting way beyond the actual day of voting? I think that's unconstitutional, and there are some Supreme Court justices that have already suggested that that's a violation of the Constitution to do so. And some of these states are segregating any of the ballots that they're getting after the election day because there's no doubt going to be a constitutional challenge to these things if we have to go that route.
Matt, I'd like to just hit Pennsylvania here for a moment. I saw a video clip this morning outside a Philadelphia polling place where a Republican poll watcher denied entry. Also in Philadelphia, WND.com reported that Democratic operatives were caught handing out Democratic voting guides to people in line to vote. They also report at a Northeast Philadelphia polling place that illegal signs urging people to vote for Democrats were seen. And also reporting voting machines reported down in Westmoreland and Philadelphia counties that were both pro-Trump strongholds. And then we have the Daily Signal reporting that only 2 hours before the polls closed, the Philly GOP account tweeted out, "Unidentified civilians moving ballot boxes, unlicensed poll observers entering polling places, rampant unchecked ballot harvesting." Pennsylvania here just really in the crosshairs, a lot of discrepancies.
Yeah, we have culinary workers that no longer live in Nevada that submitted votes via mail, and apparently a public official was there caught committing fraud connected to the election as well. You know, President Trump has filed a suit in Michigan. That's where you had this miraculous appearance of these 100,000 votes that were found, and every one of them had the name of Joe Biden on it. There's just no way in the world that you could have 100,000 votes magically found and have only one candidate on it without any exceptions. It's just impossible to do that. You also have, you know, Fox News calling the Arizona race for Biden, and yet the GOP governor, Doug Ducey, was furious. He says it's far too early to call the election in Arizona. He wrote, he says, election day votes are not fully reported And we haven't even started to count early ballots dropped off at the polls. And yet they called that for Biden. I think it was called way too early. And, you know, Pennsylvania is, you know, President Trump is leading Pennsylvania right now with about 64% of the votes there. And he has almost a 500,000 vote lead. There's no way that you could make that up unless you have some kind of voter fraud going around the issues here. So it's a very, very concerning series of developments that's happening in, guess where, Democratic states. Now, if you look at Florida as an example, Florida really represents the rest of the country in the sense of its demographics. We have urban cities, Tampa, Orlando, Miami, Jacksonville, other places. We have rural places in various parts of the state. We have Hispanic, African American, we have Asian, we have Vietnamese, all kinds of ethnicities and races and different demographics. It's almost like three states in one. And it is run efficiently by a Republican governor. There is no vote problems in Florida that we are aware of. And President Trump, handily, in a case where he's going head-to-head, fair competition, he handily won Florida by about almost 400,000 votes. 400,000 votes. That is incredibly significant. If you look at you know, if you look at past situations with the Hispanic community, particularly in South Florida, what you had is a big disparity between Democrat and Republican. Not this time. So Florida being kind of the representative of the rest of the state, we have all kinds of demographies represented here. And yet when you have fair elections, what you have is Trump going head-to-head, and he wins overwhelmingly far more than he won in 2016.
Matt, I know, and I hearken back to Pennsylvania because this one is very much up in the air yet, and we understand, according to news reports, that Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney, heading to Pennsylvania to deal with some issues, but there was a ruling that came out from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that indicated that mail-in ballots must be counted even if the signatures on the ballot do not match the signatures of the elector.
Right, and so those are the situations that likely will ultimately end up before the United States Supreme Court. Now, we had some of those moving dates where they move these mail-in ballots after the election, and those were brought to the U.S. Supreme Court before you ultimately had Amy Coney Barrett, when it was a eight-member panel of justices. And the court ultimately didn't have a majority of five to say, yes, we're going to intervene. But so there was no stopping that at the point. However, some of the justices, for example, Alito, said that this was a real problem and that this raises some serious constitutional issues. Well, you now have Justice Amy Coney Barrett, the ninth justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. And I have no doubt that there is going to be one of these cases that quickly makes its way up to the high court. They're already trying to set up the situation to try to get Amy Coney Barrett to recuse herself, but there's no reason to. They did that during the confirmation hearings. Nancy Pelosi continues to beat that drum, so to speak, and prepare for that kind of an argument. But look, she has had no involvement. Just because the president appoints you doesn't mean that you disqualify yourself from any kind of case involving the president.
Right.
Look, all the different cases that came before the Supreme Court that had the name Trump on it in the last 4 years, we had all these Republican-appointed individuals. We had, you know, a number of people that have been there, and no one has asked for them to be recused. No, sure they. And so Justice Barrett will be on that bench as the ninth justice.
Well, what's interesting, Matt, is that just yesterday we've got House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling Amy Coney Barrett an illegitimate member of the court. Here's Nancy Pelosi in her own words.
The president is installing an illegitimate Supreme Court justice just 1 week before the election, after 60 million Americans have voted, who will dismantle the ACA and won't say, by the way, when asked by Senator Feinstein, do you think Medicare is constitutional? She said she really couldn't say.
And this is the mantra that she's an illegitimate member of the court. And we're going to hear that over and over, Matt, to try and discount or disqualify her in any way from acting in on any matter pertaining to the election.
Yeah, and when Ginsburg was asked, along with Kagan and others like Sotomayor and so forth, of what their particular position would be on Roe versus Wade or abortion, they declined to answer because that would be forecasting their vote before you even had a particular case before you. And that's what Justice Barrett did. She's not going to answer those hypotheticals, because then if she did answer a hypothetical like that and a case came before her, then they might have a basis to say, oh, she needs to recuse herself because she's already predisposed herself to a particular side before she even hears the facts of the case.
Matt, something else, and that is now Nancy Pelosi also has come out and said that the House is ready to step in. The House of Representatives is prepared to step in to decide who is president if the election results end up in dispute. She said this: we're ready, we're prepared, we've been ready for a while because we see this irresponsibility of the president, his disrespect for the Constitution, for our democracy, and for the integrity of our elections, so we're ready for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have been setting this up, you know, from the very beginning with COVID and first of all, with impeachment. Well, you even back up before that, right after the election with the Russia hoax, and then that didn't work, and then impeachment, that didn't work. And then they felt that they could lock Trump up and shut down the churches and tank the economy with the COVID restrictions. And the worst ones are in the Democratic-controlled states, where the churches have the worst restrictions and the economies have really suffered. Now you have this build-up for the election, and they wanted to do this mail-in voting. And again, for people who don't understand the difference, there is a difference between just plain mail-in voting and absentee voting. I've done absentee voting mm-hmm. in times when I'm not going to be at the poll or, you know, I'm traveling. But there's a number of verification points along the way with absentee voting. Mail-in voting is a different creature. And then to just allow that, there's a lot of fraud potential. And when President Trump said that this is ripe with fraud, and then now they're going to create an excuse that, well, because of COVID, you can get them in after. Look, if you're going to do mail-in voting, it's problematic and it's ripe with potential fraud, number one. But if you're going to do it, you could have put a time frame that you need to have it postmarked no later than 14 days before the election
mm-hmm.
or 10 days before the election to get it in and be counted. But no, you got the fraud, and now you got the post-election counting of these things that just miraculously show up. So those are going to be challenged. Michigan has already been challenged in court by the Trump administration. And I'm sure these other cases, you know, Pennsylvania, if they steal the election in Pennsylvania and flip it and take away the large lead that President Trump currently has there, I'm sure that one's going to be challenged as well.
Matt Staver with us here today from Liberty Counsel with an Election Day recap. We're going to be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. We'll also be talking about the makeup of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, and also look at some of the referendum or ballot initiatives that took place across the nation as well. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on VCY.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and again, as we speak, the electoral count, 248 for Joe Biden, 214 Donald Trump, 270 needed to win, and lawsuits underway, as Matt said, in Michigan. We see also Rudy Giuliani heading to Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, President Trump calling for a recount in the state of Wisconsin. A lot of discrepancies taking place. Outstanding right now is still, we're waiting for the final votes from Michigan, Nevada, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. Matt Staver is with us today, and even some of these states that were called for instance, for Joe Biden, like the state of Arizona. Matt, do we actually know what those final results are for the state?
No, we don't know what the final results are for the state. I mean, that's still in flux. Like I said, you know, the governor of Arizona said that it was premature for this to be called. In fact, Arizona, according to information, is expecting another 10 to 30,000 votes for President Trump. So that would clearly put Arizona in the red zone and give Arizona to President Trump. It's far too early for that. We have heard reports that in some places there's 101% of the voters in Wisconsin. So Trump team is submitting a request for a recount there. You know, in some of these other places as well, there's some irregularities that are coming along the line. You know, for example, in North Carolina, they are expected to delay until after the State Board of Electors extends, you know, the time for voting. So they extended the time for voting in a number of four different polls. So that's going to delay North Carolina from doing a final count pretty soon. Hopefully we'll get it pretty soon, but they extended it in four different locations. There was no reason to do any of this because we had plenty of early voting that people had the opportunity to do, and there was no reason to do these things after the fact. I'm receiving information from people in Israel, and they are just literally astounded by what they're seeing in the United States of America. They are very strongly supportive of President Trump because of his pro-Israel positions, and they are watching, people are watching around the world, and they're seeing this, and this is like third world kind of country situations, Jim, and it's not something that we want to be seen around the country, around the world, engaging in.
Let's move on to some of the other issues as far as the balance of power in Congress. First of all, Matt, the Senate, as we speak right now, there are some races undecided, but to 47 Democrats, 48 Republicans, it's been surmised that the GOP will maintain control of the Senate.
Yeah, that's a good news. It makes it a more narrow margin right now, but at the same time, it's good news, and that means that Mitch McConnell would still be the president of the Senate, and Lindsey Graham would still be chair of the Judiciary Committee.
And speaking of Lindsey,
goal would be to continue to move these judges through the process, and they're going to do that between now and the end of the year anyway. But certainly, we need four more years to put good judges there, because otherwise, a Biden-Harris presidency and vice presidency would be terrible for the judicial system. They would appoint judicial activists that just simply ignore the rule of law and the Constitution.
Matt, there was some big money put into the race against Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, $100 million. I mean, this is a Senate race, $100 million. This is what we used to have for presidential national races, and what Lindsey Graham's race had become is really a national target. And the reason is because of his strong defense of Justice Kavanaugh during the confirmation hearings. And now he's chairing the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's the one that has been moving these nominations up to the full Senate floor, including, obviously, Justice Amy Coney Barrett. So they really put a lot of money into his campaign, and yet he won decisively.
And so the Senate had a pickup like in Mississippi, but they also lost some seats there, too, Colorado. But the net looks like it's still going to be, well, it, all practical purposes look like it'll be that GOP control there. As we take a look also at, and by the way, up in Maine, many have been watching for the race of Susan Collins, and it looks like she's winning the race up there as well.
Yeah, and in the U.S. House, it looks like we picked up, Republicans picked up a few seats there, including Donna Shalala. She is knocked out, a longtime liberal Democrat. She's got voted out. A conservative woman in New Mexico beat a longstanding Democratic incumbent. We have a very conservative Republican in Georgia, a woman that won. Also, another Republican replaced a Democrat in Alabama. So Doug Jones is gone, and we have the youngest member of Congress out of North Carolina, who's only 25 years old, and he's the newest or the youngest member of Congress, and he joins the Republican House or the Republican colleagues.
So Nancy Pelosi will continue with her agenda, and I know at the forefront, and same with Joe Biden. If he takes the presidency, he has said that the Equality Act is going to be, you know, is high up on his agenda.
Oh, yeah, he's going to push the Equality Act, and, of course, the House already overwhelmingly passed that. It's very radical. I mean, it is an unrecognizable Democratic Party since the last 4 years, even going back into the Obama administration. It became completely unrecognizable, and it's completely unrecognizable now. Nancy Pelosi is the big reason for that, because she has had a number of anti-Semites, anti-Israel, anti-American, anti-capitalist, AOC among others, in the House, and she has given voice to them and their radical organizations that support them. Rather than trying to temper them, she's allowed them a platform, and that has now become the tail wagging the dog. So AOC represents the new Democratic Party, and that is a very radical party. It's one that you don't even recognize anymore.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting, and then also in the governor races as well, we saw a number of states put the governors in. I believe there was only one flip in the state, and that was in Montana, that went from a Democrat seat to a Republican seat.
Yeah, so, you know, overall, if you look at the overall country, it really, including the presidential race, by the way, which I pray it continues to go in the direction of President Trump, because he, I have no doubt that he, on the merits, won this election. But if you look at the pollsters, across the board, they were predicting this massive blue wave. They were predicting a massive blue wave, beginning with President Trump. And they were predicting a massive blue wave that, because of President Trump, would sweep the country, both in the House and the Senate, as well as in the state legislatures and even the governor's offices. And that did not happen. All of these pollsters were completely wrong. There was one pollster that actually correctly called 2016 for President Trump. He's the only one that seems to be more accurate in this particular cycle as well. But if you look at Real Clear Politics and all the other pollsters and the polls, completely wrong, completely inaccurate on every conceivable level.
You know, I also find this interesting, and that is in the state of Vermont, a Republican governor was elected for Vermont 68.8%, nearly 69% to 27%, and yet Joe Biden took that state 66 to 31%.
Yeah, that's a little interesting in terms of, I think, you know, what you have there is, obviously people are more on the ground listening to this local statewide candidate, but unfortunately the political machine and perhaps some of the media that they're following has been a constant negative drumbeat against President Trump. And I think some of the people just voted with that constant negative drumbeat because there's no other way you can explain that overwhelming support for a Republican governor and yet going blue when it comes to the presidential race.
And not only did we see, you talk about this media bias. I mean, we saw, and groups like Media Research Center, they did the analysis, 90-some percent of mainstream news coverage negative on Donald Trump. And the vast majority was positive for Joe Biden. But there's another interesting piece of bias. This is the daily Yahoo email news delivered to about 225 million active monthly users of Yahoo Mail every day, found that from July 1st through October 31st, users were inundated with a startling 134 headlines negative toward Trump, only 16 negative about Biden. What a margin.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge margin. Yeah, it's a huge margin. Let's just take one of these states with regards to, say, the Real Clear Politics. And, you know, regarding Florida, for example, Real Clear Politics and its polls of polls that it does had Biden up in Florida by 1.2%, predicting that Biden would ultimately win Florida. But he lost big, with Trump winning between 375 and 400,000 vote margin, which really is exceptional when you look at the state of Florida. That's a margin of 3.4%. He won 51.2 to Biden's 47.8. So when you look at that switch between winning by 1.2 to actually losing by 3.4, you add those together, that's a 5-point spread. Mm-hmm. They were really off on their calculations, and that's just one example of this constant media bias. And some people, unfortunately, when they're voting, they're looking at winners. Who do they vote for? They don't have a lot of interest in politics, but they're going to vote. Maybe they don't vote very much. They don't pay much attention to politics. Maybe they're first-time voters. Not everybody, but there are some people that fall in this category. And they look at, who am I going to cast my vote for? Well, who do the what does the media think? What's the polls showing? I think I'll go for Biden because that's what the polls are showing. And yet, state after state, election after election, what we find is these pollsters are wrong. And I think what they're doing is they're mispolling. They're also trying, I think, not just to poll. I think they're trying to influence people's opinion and to set the stage for people to vote in a certain way.
Let's hit some of the referendum issue, Matt, as well, initiatives. We saw Louisiana pass an amendment, no constitutional right to abortion. Colorado failed to pass a ban on abortion after 22 weeks.
Yeah, this state joins a few other states, like Tennessee, for example. There's about four of them, maybe pushing five states right now, that essentially are setting up for a reversal of Roe versus Wade, and that is this, that when Roe versus Wade is reversed at the U.S. Supreme Court, which I believe it will be, by the way, then in those states, the constitutional amendment kicks in and bans abortion in those states. So they're already set up to do that. Colorado is the first state that really, I mean, Colorado has no restrictions on the limitation because the measure out there in Colorado was to ban abortion after 22 weeks, and yet the voters didn't even pass that, which really makes you wonder about the electorate in Colorado. How out of touch are they, and how liberal are they in that state? It has become, unfortunately, a beautiful state like California, but dominated by very liberal Democratic policies. Right now, you've got a liberal Democratic governor, Jared Polis. We're litigating against him because he has some significant restrictions on houses of worship that he doesn't put on similar non-religious kinds of activities.
Matt Staver with us. A couple more questions, and we'll be opening some phone lines. So, folks, formulate your comments. Be as brief as possible, right to the point. And we'll be opening up those lines here in just a few moments. Matt Staver with us, an Election Day recap here on Crosstalk.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Schneider along with Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Their website is lc.org, lc.org. Matt, I just saw a column come out from Todd Starnes saying, Mr. President, do not concede. We're standing with you. Critical message here right now.
Well, and I think there's no way in the world President Trump, under these circumstances, is going to concede, nor should he. He has already stated that he's ready to take this up to the United States Supreme Court. He's already filed in Michigan, and I think there's going to be more suits coming. And the Supreme Court, as I mentioned early in the program, some of the justices have already made a statement in the last couple weeks that this extending of the ballot like these states have done and what we're seeing right now that's fraught with fraud is likely unconstitutional. I think that will ultimately be struck down when and if one of those cases gets to the Supreme Court. I tell you, if the election hinges on that, one of those cases will be decided in the very near future at the U.S. Supreme Court, and I think President Trump will win that battle.
Matt, we were talking about some of the ballot initiatives, and we saw on some of the life issues, but the state of Oregon voted to decriminalize certain amounts of meth, heroin, and cocaine. We've never seen hard drugs like this on the ballot, have we?
No, we haven't. I mean, I don't know what in the world some of these people are thinking when they do that.
And we get several other states, too, that legalized marijuana.
Yeah, South Dakota, for example, legalized both at the same time, first state to ever do this at the same time, medicinal or medical use of marijuana and also recreational use of marijuana.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's their more anti-government libertarian kind of bent, but no state's ever done that at the same time. They've usually gone from one and then next to the to another. But South Dakota did it in all one fell swoop. But what you just described about the hard drugs is just unfathomable, and the problems that's going to create. I think that is really begging for the federal government, because this is a drug that's under the Drug Act, and it's a contraband drug, and you can't just go and buy that freely. I think the federal government's going to need to come in. But if it's a Biden administration, I'm sure they're going to support it. If it's a Trump administration, that you can better believe the Department of Justice is going to intervene in that particular situation.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your questions, brief comments today. Matt, also last night, Sarah McBride, that's a biological man identifying as a woman, became the first transgender state senator in U.S. history.
Yeah, this is really indicative of the downturn of our basic moral Judeo-Christian foundation to be able to see that happening. Speaking, by the way, of these kinds of issues, this morning the U.S. Supreme Court heard an amazing, incredibly important religious free exercise case involving a foster care ministry out of Philadelphia. It's pitting the free exercise religion of the First Amendment against the LGBT agenda. But it also has the question of overturning this terrible 1990 Smith decision at the Supreme Court that really hurt religious freedom. And so this case is going to be far beyond the foster care ministries, although every foster care ministry is hanging in the balance on the decision. By the end of this week, the justices will vote, and one of the justices will begin writing the opinion, who is ever in the majority. I'm so glad that Barrett is there, because if Ginsburg were there, she would always side with the LGBT agenda against the First Amendment. And I'm glad that Justice Barrett is now another member of that court to take Ginsburg's place. But pray for that case. It's the Fulton versus City of Philadelphia case, Fulton versus City of Philadelphia. It'll have huge ramifications for free exercise of religion, including whether or not, if you have a mandatory COVID vaccine, whether you'll be able to raise free exercise as a defense when your state doesn't have an individual basis for you to do it.
Matt, also last night we saw Nevada enshrined in their constitution so-called same-sex marriage, that if the Obergefell decision ever collapses by the U.S. Supreme Court, that they would uphold it in the state of Nevada.
Yeah, that is so concerning. So there's definitely concern about the moral foundation of our country. All the more reason why the church needs to be very involved in transforming the community, and pastors need to stop being afraid of addressing issues and educating the people. The young people that I work with, they're amazing. And, you know, when we take them to Israel, they eat up the fact that they can study the scriptures, and they love to delve into the Word of God and how it actually applies to issues that they are dealing with on a regular basis. Oftentimes, pastors just ignore that, and they want to preach a very low-level message that doesn't seem to do anything and doesn't connect the dots with how we live daily. Well, you're starting to see some of the results of that. And, of course, you see the results of the educational system that just literally dumbs down our country and also has its own particular left-leaning agenda.
Matt, one other aspect, and lines are packed here, but we can't escape the mobs that have been forming on streets. I mean, D.C., Portland, Seattle. I mean, there was a mob in D.C. last night, burned down the American plantation. There was video that came forth in New York City, somebody yelling out to police officers, "I hope all of your children get raped and killed." That's an Antifa thug. I mean, this is outrageous what is going on. This lawlessness, this is anarchy.
Yeah, and you know, we have an office in Washington, D.C., and there is a list that's put out by this group called Shutdown D.C., and this group is it morphed from a very radical climate change organization, and now it's got Shutdown D.C. or Shutdown various different cities. They add wherever they're going to be. And they had an organizational meeting last night, and today they've got this list not only of Republican locations and also institutions like the Supreme Court, et cetera, but also of specific organizations. One of them is a friend of mine who's an African-American female. She's conservative, Christian, and they're targeting her and her ministry there. And we're not talking about just going outside and holding a sign. We know that these things can quickly turn violent. Mm-hmm. I've got photographs that are just very disturbing in D.C. of all these restaurants and businesses right around the red zone, and they have boards on all of their windows, and they're literally shut down. In large swaths of Washington, D.C. I have friends on the D.C. police departments, and last week, Wednesday, 14 police officers were injured. One police officer will never see another sunrise or sunset because one of these thugs pointed a laser in his eyes, and he is now blind.
Right.
So, I mean, this is really serious stuff. It's happening in New York City. Soho is boarded up like that. Beverly Hills is the same way. And this is the radicalism voice that the Democratic Party has been feeding. And when you don't temper it, it gets more extreme. And unfortunately, it's now moved over to violence and destruction.
Let's go to the phone lines. John calling in from Delavan. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Matt. I hope you guys are having a good day. I want to be very brief. I just want everybody to understand that Jesus Christ is sovereign over all.
Amen.
Regardless.
We agree.
And he will not be removed from his seat of power.
Amen. Thank you,
John. At the right hand. Until his appropriated time to come back and set up his reign on earth. We need to understand that. We need to not give up on our president. And we need to stand up
exactly.
For...
Thank you, John. God is sovereign, Matt. We don't deny that one iota here. I mean, it is true. He knows the end from the beginning. What's going on in this nation did not catch him by surprise.
Yeah, no, it's not catching him by surprise, not at all. And, at the end of the day, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, it's always comforting to note that, you know, God is in control, and certainly he is. But also you have to think about, you know, God was in control when the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 plus years, mm-hmm. and a lot of people suffered over that.
Yep.
And why did they suffer? Because other people's sins. A lot of people objected to that, and that a lot of people were faithful followers of the Lord. And the same thing when the southern kingdom, you know, got ultimately taken over by Babylon, and Daniel was one of those devout people,
right,
but because
right.
of the sins of the rest, they fell. So we have to pray for God's intervention and pray for the preservation of this country.
Let's go next to David, New Berlin, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for your program. I wanted to know if you have any information on the voter machine fraud, how they can change your vote, and if there's anything that can be done about that.
You mean like these machines that you don't know what your hard copy vote is because you don't have a hard copy paper trail? I think, has been a real problem since we went to these machine voting situations, because you never are able to definitively prove how an individual voted. It could be changed electronically. It could be made so that every fifth vote for a particular candidate flips over to the other, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to another caller from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, I had just listened to Brandon's program before this one, and they had a three-star general on talking about the hammer and scorecard technology that is being used to steal votes and change the numbers, and that's why there's chaos and confusion in the numbers, that it's being stolen. It's a coup that's happening. And, you know, for evil to triumph, good people do, you know, sit and do nothing, and I think of how organized the enemy is and how wickedness is just not held to account and in check. And how do we organize to thwart these things? I think of all our veterans who took oaths against enemies foreign and domestic, and I think we're watching domestic enemies take over our country.
Yeah, you know, I just am looking right now at something breaking. That's a county clerk in Antrim County in Michigan may have accidentally transposed the numbers for Trump and Biden, and then also another candidate by the name of John James, and is investigating Trump and James. We'll see a gain of about 6,000 votes once this error is corrected. I mean, that kind of information is very disturbing, because we want free, open, and honest elections. If you lose, you lose, but we shouldn't have elections stolen with this kind of fraudulent mm-hmm. activity.
Thank you for the call. Mm-hmm. Steve in Mitchell, South Dakota, you're on the air.
This is Steve from Mitchell.
I hope you are, yeah.
Okay. I was just listening to the other caller talking about the hammer, and I listened to Brandon House's program and how they use a scorecard. And they can manipulate all these votes. They've been doing it for several years. They turned in all this stuff on Biden and all the corruption. They've got, I don't know how many piles of paper on them, and the FBI sat on it and did nothing. But Brennan, Clapper, and Comey are all up to their ears in it. And this is something Brandon didn't know about, and they just talked about today on the radio.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
So I'll hang up and listen to your reply. Thanks.
Well, I didn't hear the program, but it must have been a good one, because I just have an email right here from two calls that suggested that we listen to that particular program from Brandon House on the very issue that you're talking about. So I will certainly do that. But I don't know the specifics of what Brandon said on there, but it is part and parcel of the overall concern about the stealing of election that we have been talking about.
Thank you, Steve, for your call. We're going to take a quick break. Matt Staver with us, their website, lc.org. Friends, this is no time to stop praying. Sometimes we, oh, Election Day, okay, we prayed for Election Day. We stop at this point. Absolutely not. Continue in fervent prayer. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. There is a spiritual battle going on, and in this election, it is definitely a spiritual battle. Black Lives Matter has openly admitted, Patricia Kaluers, the one, by the way, who said she is a trained Marxist, has admitted on an audio and a video with the Black Lives Matter founder of Los Angeles that they call up the spirits of the dead. They openly admit they even get instruction from them. They're talking to them. Well, you and I know that it's appointed unto every man to die once and then face the judgment. They're not talking to dead individuals. They're talking to demons. They openly admit they call on their spirits to empower them and even begin many of their Black Lives rally riots or whatever you want to call them, protests, with a prayer. They are involved by their own admission in a spiritual event, the spirit of darkness. Pray for America.
Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us today on Crosstalk with the Election 2020 analysis and taking your phone calls here at Crosstalk. Right back to the phone lines. Dave is calling in from Brookfield. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Matt. I'm a numbers guy, and I was up to like 4 a.m. tracking this stuff. And I'll tell you, there's some dramatic, just to confirm what you're seeing, there's dramatic number changes. And like Michigan, he was up by, Trump was up by 318,000 votes. Next thing I know, three or four, he was down by 9,000. And it just, the shift in the numbers was just amazing to me in Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. I mean, it's gone, it's just incredible how many votes shifted. And also with James versus Peters in Michigan, I mean, he was up over 100,000, and all of a sudden he's within, like it's within 10,000 or whatever now. It's just something's not right. And one other quick question I had is, don't they normally call an election, the mainstream media, when it says X percent of the vote? These were really high percentage votes, how many had already voted, when they normally be called, and then all of a sudden it shifted. That strikes me as strange as well. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thank you. And Matt, part of that is due to all this, these absentee ballots and the mail-in votes?
Yeah, and that's part of the problem that we have. We've always had absentee ballots, and you have to qualify that you're going to be absent, and you have to apply for that in order to get it. It don't just necessarily come automatically. But these mail-in votes are a real problem because they're not verified in the same way an absentee vote is verified. And they're ripe with fraud, first of all, and secondly, they've allowed them, some of these states, to be mailed on the day of the election, which that means, like for some states, you're not going to get them until Friday. So we won't even know in some of these states what their mail-in ballots are going to be like until at the end of the week. I mean, we have a specific election day. We've all known about it for months. And you can't justify this because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You can say if you're going to do that, you need to do absentee in some rare situations, you have to put in the safeguards that anything would be free of fraud, and then it has to be in plenty of time in order to be counted before Election Day.
Let's go to Mick next. You're on the air, Mick.
Hi, I just have a question. Long ago, we had a preacher who preached his sermon and then took off his cleric's garb and said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And signed up his entire congregation to armed resistance against tyranny. And I'm wondering, at what point are we going to cross that line and start standing up? And I'll listen offline.
Man?
Well, I don't want to advocate at all, in fact, to the contrary, about armed resistance against tyranny. But I think we do need to resist tyranny, and we need to challenge tyranny whenever we see it. And what you're talking about in that particular case is Reverend Muhlenberg, and he was a pastor in Virginia. His brother was in New York, and his brother told him, you just need to sit behind the pulpit and stop doing these political discussions until the British came and burned his church, and then he ultimately joined his brother, and they both became part of the Continental Army, and they were both pastors at the same time as well. So, it's time for pastors and people to stand up and speak, particularly pastors, to really address the cultural issues, and how many of them really spoke about what's at stake in this upcoming election. I know some did, but far too many were silent.
We've got Rich calling from Burlington. You're on the air, Rich.
Thank you for taking my call. I just had a question. A few weeks back, you remember in Madison, Wisconsin, there was a big rally, and I forget how many different sites where people could get absentee ballots, and then they were turning them in. They were being picked up, and they got cut off. It got stopped, is from what I understand from the news, but I never heard much more about what happened to that and where those ballots went that were collected. They weren't collected by any official part of the you know, the election system. And I was wondering, Jim or Jay, what have you heard about that from those, from that? I forget there was a name for it, but it was in all the parks in Madison.
Yeah, they held the event, but Rich, frankly, I have not heard what happened to those ballots or who collected them or were they turned into the election agency. Supposedly, they were collecting the ballots to be delivered. People filling them out and delivering them, you know, politically biased organizations. But that is my assumption that happened with them, but I don't have that information.
Nor do I.
Thank you, Rich. David is next. Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to say thank you, Jim, and thank you, Matt, for being the watchman on the wall. You inspire me. We pray that righteousness and truth will win with Trump. And again, you guys encouraged me. I was out in Madison yesterday with one banner, bright silver and orange, Jesus. I'm telling people they can still vote Jesus as their Savior and elect him. Hmm. So thank you very much.
Thank you, God David. Bless you. Maryland, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. This morning, the gentleman on Fox that is in charge of calling the states, he said astoundingly yesterday that Trump won every single state except New York in in-person voting.
Oh, in-person voting.
Hmm. In-person voting, yes.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
That's hard to believe with California, but you never know. But certainly, I think there is a big disparity between in-person voting and absentee voting versus these mail-in ballots. I think there's a clear disparity there, and that's why the Democrats in these Democratic states wanted to do mail-in ballots, and they wanted to extend the time past the election.
Yeah. Thank you, Merle, for the call. I'm going to just squeeze in one final call in our last seconds. Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I am praying for God's will. He sets up one, puts down another. But this is a call to people. Please make your call in an election. Sure that you belong to the Lord. We listened to Gary Carr. He said if, I think it's 70% of people call themselves Christians were real Christians, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Matt, the final seconds are yours.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I mean, obviously, we have a big job ahead of us, and that is the, you know, changing of individual hearts. The church certainly is at the very center of that and must be at the very center of it. But, you know, this is significant. I was involved in the five consecutive weeks of the Bush-Gore litigation. It was exhausting, and that was a fight worth having. I hope we don't have to go down that road, but it's a fight worth having. Don't ever give up. And continue to pray for our country.
Amen. Amen. Matt Staver from Liberty Council, lc.org is our website. Matt, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And folks, as we mentioned at the outset, Election Day is over. However, the election is not. Keep the matter in prayer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.